This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning. Welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. And it's Game 7 Sunday. And joining me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. Are we getting pumped yet?
I'm pumped already.
You're pumped, buddy. Yeah. Okay, fantastic.
Clear the track. Here comes Shaq on. Pumped.
We got pumped about 5 minutes ago when the station played "Clear the Track, Here Comes Shaq." Man, that was awesome. I want to play. I got a goosebumps there, Naz. Anyways, also joining us, our good friend Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Doing well, gentlemen. Thank you very much. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. We're pumped, buddy. We're pumped. We're ready. Also,
for what?
Oh, you know what we're ready for. Anyways, also joining us this morning, the ultimate Leafs fan. We're gonna need him as much as ever tonight. Of course, I'm talking about our good friend Mike Wilson. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Like you guys, anxious and ready for the tonight.
We certainly are. I can't after the performance from earlier on in the week, where fans were leaving Scotiabank Arena in droves. We're surprised we're here this morning. I guess we probably shouldn't be surprised, and we're going to chat about that, Naz and Lou and Mike. So let's get into it, Naz. Game 7. Didn't think we would be here after Game 5, but we're here.
Yeah, we are here, and if the Leafs win tonight, they have home ice advantage right through to the Stanley Cup final.
Okay, that's good to know, but let's get over the hump first. I will start off. I'll turn it over to you, Lou, and then to you, Mike. You got to compliment this Toronto Maple Leaf team. They were horrible except in the eyes of Paul Maurice. They didn't play a great game in Game 5 at home. Lost 6-1, I think the final was. Give them credit, man. They gutted it out in Game 6. They didn't, a lot of Leafs Nation had already gotten the golf clubs out, but this addition of Toronto Maple Leafs and Craig Berube said, not yet, guys. And got to give them a lot of credit, Lou. They did show a lot of heart in Game 6, and hopefully we can take this into tonight's game. But Lou, your thoughts on the Leafs' recovery from their Game 5 debacle, and you got to give them credit, Lou, for turning it around in Game 6.
Well, I'm glad you guys are so optimistic. No, listen, Game 6 was probably the best game, best played game that I've seen them play all around. They were solid in front of their net. They didn't turn the puck over at any crucial time. They played a typical road game that you'd want it in the playoffs. They took all the angles. They took everything away from Florida. And the one thing that I was really happy and surprised that they've done is they blocked their front of the net pretty good. And any shots that were taken did not get through to Wall. They did a great job on blocking those shots and turning everything to the outside.
Mike, you know, we amongst Leafs fans and the hockey community, we tend to be overly critical of the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are under a microscope, literally 365 days of the year, and the comments after the Game 5 loss were, I wouldn't say over the top, but not very flattering in a lot of quarters. And then you realize, you know, sports is sports, and got to give this group a lot of credit, a lot of kudos for their I don't know what you want to use it, courage, heart, whatever you want to call it. But you got a huge pat on the back for their Game 6 performance and coming back from their Game 5 performance, Mike.
Well, yeah, I mean, the word resilience comes right to mind for me when you think about that. And let's just put the playoffs aside for a second and analyze the team as a whole. And just take a look at it. If you take a look at goal, with Stolich, a healthy Stolich, you've got a goaltending duo that's basically unmatched in the National Hockey League. The defense core is as good as we've seen in years, and you may add a player or two in the offseason. The third and fourth lines are as good as you can see for the Maple Leafs in the last 10 years, and you may want to tweak those lines. The second line, without Pacioretty, you may tweak that also to play Tavares and Nylander. And the top line, of course, if Marner leaves, you have to replace him. My point being, and you got solid strength behind the bench with Craig Berube, who's a calming influence on a player and has done it. So you have all of that going with you. So there's not many holes in this team, is my point. And the fact remains that this club is built to win, and they can win the Stanley Cup, and they can win it all. But you know what? They're playing the best team in the National Hockey League right now. And if they're playing anybody else, we'd be talking about the third round right now. And I don't care who it is. But, I mean, I watched that Winnipeg and Dallas game last Sunday before the Leaf game. And there's more hits. It looked like a men's league game on Sunday night that I played with the hitting. And there was more hits in the first 5 minutes of the Leaf game than there was, I think, in that whole series. So the Leafs are taking a pounding. They're being resilient, as I mentioned at the beginning of this. They're taking it. They're staying away from the nonsense. And they're moving their feet. And if they continue to do that, I like their chances.
Naz, key to the game tonight?
Brad Marchand. Keep him out of, off the score sheet. I think he's the key to Florida. And Benoit, what a hit on Marchand.
Straightened him up pretty good.
Yeah, he got rocked. And I think that was a turning point in the game, really. He was that good, that impactful.
Well, interestingly enough, Benoit had the most minutes of any Leaf defenseman the other night. And
not bad for $1.5 million. Eh?
Well, yeah, for now. Lou, key to the game tonight?
Matthew Tkachuk. We haven't seen the real Matthew Tkachuk yet. He hasn't scored. He hasn't had any effect on the games. And that's on the Florida side. Now, on the Leafs side, I think it's going to have to be John Tavares. He's going to have to step to the forefront and give Marner, Matthews, and Nylander a little bit of help. He's been non-existent in this round.
Tkachuk, they're saying, is playing with injuries. And, you know, at this time of year, given the physicality of a series like this, you know, injuries, you don't know who's battling what. Mike, how do you see tonight's game unfolding?
Well, my view on it is, don't worry about Florida. Play your game. You got home ice. You got the crowd behind you. My view is take the game to them and make them play to the Toronto level, not the other way around. And when they do that, they have success. They're good enough to do this. You saw the other night, four power plays. Florida had one shot on goal. I hate analytics, but they're projected high-scoring chances. Leafs doubled up on Florida the other night, you know, in their own barn. So forget about Tkachuk and his high school antics. I mean, that's all nonsense. To me, when I see guys doing that, that's a sign of somebody that can't compete and is looking for a way to get under your skin. So just keep it simple, as Craig Berube's been talking about. Play your game, and I like the results.
Naz, it's the time of year when you get bruised and battered, and Matthew Nyes looks like something happened to him the other night. How big of a loss would it be if he's, like, we don't know whether he's playing tonight or not, but
I think he separated his shoulder. The way he got hit, that usually means separated shoulder. And I think he'll play tonight, though. I really do.
Well, if he managed to finish the game, he's such an important part of the team and of Matthews and Marner's line, who finally they managed to escape the straitjacket of criticism. And Matthews, you know, but he's saying he scored the most important goal of his career the other night, set up by Marner They tend to, I wouldn't say dominated were on the ice, but you know, they were the best line out there probably the entire night. So you know, when if they can keep that going, Lou, I certainly see a path for victory there, Lou.
You definitely will. And I think Pacioretty is probably going to be moved up onto the top line. At least I would, because they need a presence on a line to, for a guy to get one of the corners other than McCann. I don't see McCann being the guy, so they're probably going to have to change a couple of the other lines if they're going to put Pacioretty on the line there with Marner and Matthews. You know what? If you watch last night's game between Dallas and Winnipeg, you're going to see something similar to that game. Both teams are going to play it very, very safe. They're going to put everything to the net. It's going to be physical tonight, and you're going to have to score on your chances that you get. You look at Appleton last night. With about 8 minutes left in the third period, misses a wide open net. You know, chances are going to be few and far between, so you better take advantage of them while they can.
Mike, Joseph Woll, you know, he has stepped up, you know, other than, you know, perhaps a bad goal or two in game five, he's certainly has stepped up and provided the level of goaltending that the Leafs need to win the series, and certainly a shutout at Sunrise in game six. This kid, his record in elimination games is pretty good. Your thoughts on the play of Joseph Woll?
You were fading in and out there. I don't know whether we have a bad connection or not, but if you're talking about Joseph Woll, his game, listen, this kid was anointed as number one goalie last summer by the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he stepped into a tough situation 2 years ago against the same club and played very, very well, and he earned his status. And the fact remains is he seems to keep getting better by the period and by the shift, basically, if you want to look at it like that. The key is the D in front of him is allowing him, look how far out of the net he's playing in those shots and cutting off those angles. And that's only because he has the confidence that the defensemen are not going to allow a second or third shot and they're taking the guy out or they're blocking it. And the pucks are sticking to him, so there's no rebounds. And when you've got a goaltender playing like that with a D in front of him like they are, and the forwards coming back and being defensive responsible, you know, listen, it just makes his job that little bit much easier for him. And when he's playing at the level he is, again, you can't ask for more.
Naz, Craig Berube, you know, he was brought in for a specific reason, his experience, Stanley Cup champion with the St. Louis Blues. And you sort of see, you know, you watch him behind the bench and you watch him how he reacts to what's going on. And, you know, they get, you know, and let's be fair, they got blown out in game five. But, you know, he exudes confidence, and I sort of got the sense in game six, you know, he came after game five. He says, look, guys, look, you know, we're going to go back at it in game six. We've got a good team here. And he made some comments about Matthews and Marner. He says, no, I believe in these guys. They, you know, we got here with them. We're going to win with them. And I think the team's sort of picking up on his vibe and his steadiness. And they don't panic out there. He's been a big difference.
He has. And when he came in, I thought he was going to be like a John Tortorella, but he ends up being a very calming effect on the team. And he's very, very good behind the bench.
And certainly he's got some games, as does Paul Maurice for that matter. But, we can say this, you know, the Leafs are not outmatched behind the bench. We've got a guy who's been there game seven, St. Louis in Boston for the cup. So, you know, he's somebody of that stature, you know, the team acquires some confidence that they're in good hands, and he could be a big influence tonight. Lou?
He definitely could. And you'd never think coming or having his background as a player, as a feisty, intense, taking on all comers type of player. But I think he might have learned a few lessons of being in St. Louis. You know, he pulled some strings in St. Louis that I don't think he could pull here to win the Stanley Cup there. and probably later on in his career there, things have gotten backfired a little bit. So I think with the players that he has here, he knows he's got to build confidence with Matthews and Marner. He also said something regarding to Nylander that nothing fazes him. He just goes about doing things his own way, and he's going to let him do things his own way. And by not splitting up Marner and Matthews, it just goes to show you that he's a coach that is not in a no-panic mood, so to speak. He's going to let the players decide the game because he knows he's got the players there. And if the players have if he has confidence in the players are going to have confidence in him, the decisions that he has made, and they're going to play hard for him.
Mike, you know, you get blown out in a game, which was Game 5. The fans turned on the team in the third period, rightly or wrongly. And then you got to go back for Game 6. And then, you know, for a team to be able to turn that around, that emotion, that perspective, the guy behind the bench makes a huge difference. And, you know, you look at the Leafs winning Game 6 in Sunrise, and, you know, you give Matthews credit, you give Pacioretty credit, you give all Simon Benoit credit, all the players, they all did their jobs. But then you look at the guy behind the bench. I don't think you do what – I don't think you rebound from a Game 5 loss and then turn around in a Game 6 without the guy behind the bench being an integral part of that turnaround. Mike?
Well, yeah, and I mean, you got to remember, too, you're dealing with professional athletes, and the numbers don't lie for all bettors out there. You know, they always look for the rebound game after a team gets blown out, and it's prevalent in every sport, and they have pride, and they know how bad they played, and they heard the boos, they saw the sweaters being thrown on the ice, they saw what the media was saying, so just that pride alone, it was going to drive them. And you know, the Florida and the other side, they were putting out the stories, they were laughing and giggling at practice and all that kind of stuff. So it's just doing stuff to motivate the Leafs even more. So I wasn't surprised by the response they came out with. But, you know, again, you got Chief behind the bench. He has last change at home. He can split those guys up. He can move his. I like the way he moves the guys around when guys are going well, and he comes back with the same line on double shifting if they're going good and they have some sustained pressure. And again, as you just mentioned, with that last change, it puts it a little bit more in his corner. But again, you're dealing with a savvy guy on the other side who's been through all this too. So it comes out pretty even in the wash at the end of it. But that extra last change is going to have a little bit of a difference tonight. But again, it falls on the players to respond when you're put out there, obviously.
Go ahead.
Bob Brodsky is going to show up tonight? The 9-1 loss guy that last year blew it in the finals last year. And I hope the wrong guy shows up, and the guy that couldn't stop a beach ball.
Well, he didn't blow it in the finals last year, and as he's a Stanley Cup champion. But,
yeah, but in Game 6, they blew it.
Yeah, no, I mean, you go back, and then this is where a lot of the commentators were saying, like, let's not get overexcited about the Leafs. I mean, the fans went nuts after Game 5, but for lack of a better term, those who follow hockey really, really closely understand that, look back on the series last year, Florida and Edmonton, Florida got blown out in two games in that series. So that's, so the Leafs coming back, we shouldn't be surprised. In some ways we are surprised, but we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, these guys, as Mike said, these guys are professional athletes. They didn't get to where they are, without overcoming adversity at some point in time. So, Edmonton, blew out Florida, but Florida did what they had to do in Game 7 to win the Cup. Lou, in your experience, Leafs coming bouncing back after a Game 5 loss, I guess the reaction was a little bit over the top, and sports is sports, and these guys are professional athletes, and I think we shouldn't be surprised what happened Friday night.
No, we've been talking about this for the last 8 or 9 years, so really nothing doesn't surprise me. That's why I'm as calm as anybody can be right now. The one thing I like that what what happened the last two games, Wally. And I think you can attest to this because you've played competitive sports and ball hockey. My name's not the National Hockey League. It's always better to recover from a blown out game than it is a heartbreaking game. You look at the St. Louis series with Winnipeg, with Winnipeg scoring two goals in the last minute and a half. Imagine if Toronto had done that in game five, then having to recover and go into game six with that in the back of their minds. And instead, they got blown out. They played as worse as they can have. Florida made them pay for it. Now they're going back into Florida with everything on the line and playing really, really, really loose. They're not playing uptight, knowing that they had just blown the game before in the last 2 minutes of a hockey game. So I really I'm looking forward to tonight's game to see which team comes out hard. I know the first 10 minutes are going to be a sense of where the game is going to be going, but it's going to be a tight checking game and the least amount of mistakes, and maybe even special teams are going to have a large selling in the final score.
No question, special teams. Penalty killing was huge for the Leafs the other night, killed off, especially in the first period when they got a couple of back-to-backs, and, you know, Austin Matthews gets clipped, the refs don't call it. So that's the type of performance you need. And I mean the other aspect of it, and Mike, I'd like you to comment on this. Leafs tend to win when they play as the style of a road team. And sometimes when you try, sometimes when you're at home and you come out and you're trying to please the fans, that's not necessarily smart hockey. Leafs tend to play better when they play like really, really tight, like they're on the road. And I don't know how you do that at home, but somehow you got to channel the energy of that crowd and turn it into positive result.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's very true. That most teams are guilty of that, but playing at home, because you're playing in front of family, friends, the media's on your side, the rest of the fans are on your side, so you get charged up, you want to make that beautiful play, you want to score that beautiful goal, or you want to make that great defensive play coming back. But on the road, you just want to simplify it, keep the puck out of your end, cut out the neutral zone, cover your guy, and hope one goes in off your leg and shut her down from there. So that should be, you know, that's the old school back in the day when ties actually counted in the National Hockey League. But, you know, going forward with light, you're right. I mean, how do they channel that to bring that same mentality to home ice, particularly in a game like tonight? But that's why I say what they have to do is they have to take the play to Florida and let Florida come to them, not the other way around. Take it to them, play your game, because once that puck drops, it is just another hockey game at the end of the day, and the players will not be thinking about anything else other than just to win in their shift once they're on that ice. And if they take that mentality and, again, force the play up the ice and make Florida come to you and let them do all the nonsense they want, just ignore it, keep your feet moving, and drive that puck towards the goal like they have. And just as Chief keeps saying, I'm repeating myself again, but just simplify it, and we'll be hopeful for the results. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we got to simplify it and wait for the breaks and wait for the bounces. Unfortunately, we got to move on, Mike. I think we'd be remiss. Let's take a minute and a half. Mark Scheifele yesterday lost his father. I don't know if it was the night before or early, and he played last night to honor his dad. And man, the hockey gods. Created an incredible scenario. I mean, he scores a goal and then he's in the penalty box and the team's fighting for him. But I thought the most compelling part of the evening, congratulations to the Winnipeg Jets, to Mark Scheifele for fighting that adversity. But what I will remember from that game is the captain going into the penalty box after the game. And consoling Mark Scheifele, the humanity of that gesture and the almost 30 seconds that Jamie Benn spent with Mark Scheifele in the handshake line. Man, I love hockey players. I love the handshakes after the game. I love the respect and the humanity that they showed Mark Scheifele, and reminds me why I love hockey and I love hockey players. Really quickly, Mike.
Well, you're preaching the converted here, because as Deb and I found out over the years with anything we've done in a fundraising aspect, hockey players, without a question, step right up and never have a problem helping any way they can and giving back without even a blink of an eye. So what I saw last night didn't surprise me in the least. I expected it. It's just the way these guys are cut. And they're all cut from the same cloth when it comes to that, the respect and sportsmanship they show, and just giving back to others, and how they appreciate the privilege they had to play in the National Hockey League, and they don't take it for granted. So that just comes out, and it's why it's the greatest sport in the world.
Lou, really quickly before we go to break.
I put hockey players on the top of all four sports in caring how they were raised, how they play the game, and how they respect each other's, because that never would have happened in any one of the other sports.
That we don't know, but I'll just say hockey players are special when it comes to some of these things. Anyways, on that note, Mike, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on, and got our fingers crossed for tonight. Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
We're going to take it to break, and we'll be right back. We're going to chat a little bit of golf. And later on in the hour, we're going to bring back from a couple of years ago, Dr. Patrick Keelan, and we'll talk a little bit about the psychological aspects of tonight's game. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced the New York-style cup and char pepperoni pizza. It comes with our signature thin crust, mozzarella and parmesan cheese, and our new cup and char pepperoni. You guys will love this New York-style cup and char pepperoni pizza so much, it'll bring out your inner New Yorker. Hey, same to you, buddy. Call Pizzaville at 736-3636.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? Check out the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience in Vaughan. At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s headquarters is where you, the collector, can meet your heroes. Open 7 days a week. Details at mintink.ca.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one superfan to another.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on Zoomer Radio, also live streaming at zoomerradio.ca. It's almost trivia question time, Naz. But before I let you read the trivia question, I've just got to do some housekeeping here. Just remind our listeners, the great people at Pizzaville, who've been our proud supporters since we've been on the air. They still have their Charlie special going on. It's go in and buy bite-sized chicken breasts, 50 cents, I believe. Although, check it out on the website. Go in and buy it for your furry friend. All proceeds donated to the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals and Ontario Humane Society, the great people at Pizzaville. Also want to remind you that you can pick up the Riley the Riley Naz Extra Large Pickup Pizza for $19.67. Is that price an omen, Naz? $19.67?
Yeah.
Sure. Anyways, Naz, what's the trivia question today? The phone numbers are 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740, a $50 Pizzaville gift card. If you can answer the following question.
Which defenseman leads the Toronto Maple Leafs in scoring in the playoffs?
Which defenseman has the most points for the Toronto Maple Leafs as a defenseman in this year's playoffs? Call those numbers, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. We're thrilled to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour our good friend, senior editor at Global Golf Post, John Steinbreder. John, it's a major championship Sunday, and it's our tradition to have you on, and thanks so much for joining us. It's great always to talk with you.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to chat with you as well, and looking forward to another afternoon of very good golf. Yesterday was something else, and lots of stuff going on, so it'll be exciting today as well, I think.
I know you're a hockey fan. You're a New York Rangers fan. Do you know what's going on in Toronto tonight, John?
I have no idea what's going on in hockey right now. I'm still in mourning after that disastrous season we had last year. But I wish I'm a Maple Leafs fan, thanks to you guys. So I'm rooting for them as well.
We're living and dying the Leafs right now. We got a big game 7 against the Florida Panthers tonight. John, the PGA Championship. It's a major. It's at Quail Hollow in Carolina, and can't say that I'm surprised who's in the lead. Scotty's turning this into his own personal show here, John, and he's showing why he's the best golfer in the world. Pretty remarkable day from Scotty, especially in the back nine yesterday.
And it wasn't easy. I mean, the weather down there, the wind, the rain, the mud balls earlier in the week, the, very, very difficult course. And, you know, those finishing holes, the Green Mile, the 16, 17, and 18. I mean, what is he, birdie 17 and 18? I mean, nothing seems to faze him. It's taken him a little while to get back from his cooking accident, I guess, back in January. But, boy, is he hitting the ball well. And hard to root against a three-shot lead. And I don't know. He's looking as much of a sure thing as one can be in golf. He's sure looking like it today.
Just to follow up on that, and then I'll turn over to Naz and Lou. He's going for his third major, and when I read that, I found that kind of shocking. I go, he's like the best golfer of this gen. I'm surprised he's only won two majors. I mean, I guess he's on his way to a lot more, and this would be his third. So certainly, he's been the number one for a while now. And when he gets his game to that level, look out. He's unbelievable. Naz,
John, what's going on with McIlroy and DeChambeau?
Yeah, I have no idea. Well, Rory, I mean, you know, I always laugh when I think of when Danny Willett won the Masters, and I think he was drunk for the next 12 months and kind of disappeared. And I'm not going to accuse Rory of going on a similar bender, but you have to imagine, and, you know, part of me was like, well, Rory's a natural. He's done so well, a natural to pick. He's done so well in a Quail Hollow over the years. But you just got to think there's a hangover, just an emotional hangover from winning that Masters. And I'm sure it's been a strange couple of weeks, not a lot of normalcy in his life, and also just resting on laurels a little bit, which he should. So, I would just attribute it all to that. DeChambeau, I can't, you can't figure about him. And he seemed to be doing so well. And then he stumbled there at the end the other day. I mean, he's still, six out is six out.
Not
against
bad.
Scotty. That seems like an impossible thing. But I don't know. It seems weird because I thought he was doing great at the Masters, but by his own admission, that last round he didn't have his A game by any stretch of the imagination. And he got off to a great start yesterday. And you're thinking Pinehurst all over again, only with, Scheffler this time as opposed to Rory being his kind of fighting mate there, and now it's, I mean, he's not out of it, but he's far enough away he can't really it's hard to think of them coming out on top.
Lou?
John, I'm not questioning anything. What do golfers, like, what's the routine of golfers, whether they play in a big day like today or any tournament? I know as being a professional athlete, you know, we have a routine, getting up, having breakfast, going to the rink, having a bite to eat for a 7 o'clock game, and then taking a little nap after that and getting up at around 3:30 and 4, and then what they do, getting there an hour and a half, 2 hours before a game and doing all the rituals that they do. What are golf's rituals for some of these players the morning of or the day of a big tournament or any tournament at all?
You know, that's a great question, and I wrote a piece about this in the Masters years ago because, you know, for guys like Scotty and whatnot, I mean, the leaders, so they're starting so late today. They'll be starting at 2 or 2:30, and chances are none of them are getting a great night's sleep who are in the lead. I mean, that's, you know, I guess some of them will be, but it's a little tough sleeping. And then, you know, what do? I mean, they stick very carefully to their routine, which has them get into the course a few hours ahead of time so they can, you know, do their stretching, do their, you know, their warm-ups in their different ways and how they do that. And I think they try to stick to those routines as much as they possibly can and get that down. And I think it's just figuring out what do you do with your time until you get to the point where it's time to go to the golf course. So they're not, you know, pacing around the locker room or walking around the range not knowing what to do. So I think the good news is unlike you guys in hockey having to wait to a 7 o'clock game, it's a little bit easier that it's a 2:30 start or something like that. The problem is what do you do from 6 or 7 in the morning till, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning when you start to get ready to go to the golf course? The only time that gets different for them, which is interesting, is when they're playing in the Open Championship in the UK, and sometimes given the time of day and the sunlight and the TV and everything else, they're starting there. Maybe the last groups are going off at like 4 or 4:30 sometimes, and that gets really difficult for them because it's even a longer day.
John, they're at Quail Hollow, which has been in the PGA Tour rotation. I think in the old days they used to have the Kemper Open there, if I'm not mistaken, and World Series of Golf
exactly
for a bit.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, they had the President's Cup there a few years back. Tell us your analysis of the course, and are we going to see it more a little bit more in major championships?
I mean, it's a great golf club. I've had lunch there. I've never played the course before, but the family that runs it, Johnny Harris, who's you know, a great guy, was a member of Augusta, was a great friend of Arnold Palmer's. You know, been very active in the game of golf. And, you know, they've done a great job in making that an important venue for professional golf. And now, you know, having had its, you know, second PGA now and having had the President's Cup, it's shown itself on a very big stage. The course has been nipped and tucked quite a lot. I think they've tried to make it, you know, better, more compelling, better able to stand up to golf than it is today. I think it's a difficult golf course. And it's really, the contrast is quite amazing when you think of it, looking at what Augusta is and what Quail is, and then what you're going to see with Oakmont and, you know, down the road there. But it's a very difficult course. I think it's a good venue for something like this. The pros seem to like it. They can go low, as Rory is shown in the past when he's played there. And, it seems a very fitting thing as to whether it goes and hosts another PGA or another major championship down the road. That remains to be seen. I think it might rotate back into being, you know, the site it was, the Wachovia for years, and a regular tour stop, and that's probably where its place is and what it'll end up doing.
John, there was, I don't know if I want to use the word controversy, didn't turn into a controversy in any event, but some of the guys had some problems with their drivers this week, Rory being one of them, non-conforming. What was that all about?
Well, you know, it's just, it's hard to say, and I guess, you know, I guess it happens. I think, one, they're, you know, they're pushing the envelope so much on these, on this golf equipment, just trying to get it at the absolute maxed out way that they can. And usually they're, I'm trying to think of the right word for it, but they're, you know, their disciplines, the way they're able to reach those specs are so strong, but sometimes, you know, they may go over just by a hair. Nobody's trying to do this on purpose. And, you know, and I think it happens more than you think it does, just because those, you know, the disciplines are, they're so close. So that, I think that's all that it is. And the PGA is very careful. They don't want to, you know, out anybody and say this person is doing this or that, because they're, they don't want any to be, anybody to be accused of cheating, because they're certainly, the players aren't cheating in this or something like that. I just, I think it happens with clubs sometimes, and maybe it happens a little bit more than we know.
John, we're going to let you go. You see, if anybody's going to take, anybody's going to sit atop the leaderboard after today's round, other than Scottie Scheffler, who would you think a dark horse candidate might be?
Boy, that's so hard to, it's so hard to figure. You know, I mean, Rahm in a way is five back, and again, I always say, you know, he's won two majors in on the final day, and we've said this many times, right? It's, you know, those who've had the major wins and the major experience. So it wouldn't be that surprising to see Rahm make a little bit of a run, and you've got Matthew Fitzpatrick back at five under. But I think Scott is going to be coasting. I just, you know, he's secretariat in the Belmont. I mean, you know, he's got a three-shot lead. He shot 65 in very difficult conditions yesterday. And aside from suffering from some allergy issues, which we saw yesterday as Amanda was interviewing at the end of the round, I think he's, it's going to be hard to bet against him.
Anyways, John, we're going to let you go. We got, we're going to Oakmont. That should on for the U.S. Open this year. I've got memories of playing that with the with our club, the OC, and I know those bunkers, the crazy bunkers there. I was in a few of them, so I'm looking forward to the U.S. Open this year, and I'm certainly looking forward to having you back on U.S. Open Sunday.
I look forward to that. Oakmont's going to be great. I'm just writing a story right now about Oakmont and the trees that they took down there years ago, and how they brought it back to sort of its original intention from a design standpoint. So we can talk about that and everything else. And that's a great venue for the Open, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it brings back memory of Jack and Arnie, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll have some fun. John, it's always a pleasure.
Listen, go Leafs, and thanks so much for having me.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. John Steinbrenner of Global Golf Post. We're going to take it to break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some sports psychology. We may need some before the game tonight or after the game tonight. And just to let our listeners know, we do have a winner of the Pizzaville $50 gift card. Naz, it wasn't a really tough question this week, but we had to. We wanted to get Morgan Riley into the mix. He's done some work with our chief sponsor, Pizzaville. So the winner, the Leaf defenseman with the most points, Morgan Riley, and our winner is Tony from Toronto. Congratulations, Tony! We'll get that gift card out to you. We're gonna take it to break. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced the New York style cup and char pepperoni pizza. Start spreading the news. It comes with our signature thin crust, mozzarella and parmesan cheese, and our new cup and char pepperoni. You'll be king of the hill. A number one. Call Pizzaville for the New York style cup and char pepperoni pizza at 736-3636.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Ink turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? Check out the Mint Ink trading cards and live experience in Vaughan. At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Ink's headquarters is where you, the collector, can meet your heroes. Open 7 days a week. Details at mintink.ca.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show, from one superfan to another. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. I want to welcome back to our show, Dr. Patrick Keelan. Dr. Patrick is a registered psychologist with the College of Alberta Psychologists. He's also with a special interest in sports psychology. And Dr. Patrick, you were on our show roughly at the same time 2 years ago. Welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be with you guys again.
I know that you're a Winnipeg Jets fan, and with my tongue firmly in cheek, Dr. Patrick, if you need any therapy this morning, I'm more than happy to provide it to you.
Well, thank you. It's kind of hard to recover from the Jets being eliminated after winning the President's Trophy.
Yeah, certainly. They had a great season, and they showed a lot of heart in incredibly difficult circumstances yesterday. So I give the Jets all the credit in the world. Dr. Patrick, you obviously have an expertise in sports psychology. It's been an up and down week in the minds of Toronto Maple Leafs fans. We were at the depths of despair the other day, and now we're on a high, and we're nervous about what's coming up tonight. The gamut of emotions amongst Leafs fans this week, it's been a roller coaster ride beyond belief. Tonight's game, you've got the Toronto Maple Leafs going into a Game 7. They've lost the last, how many, Naz? 5 or 6 Game 7s? You're a sports psychologist. How do you address the players? What techniques can be used to get the Toronto Maple Leafs over the hump?
I think the main thing is to focus on what you can control and not to focus in the past. The example which strikes me the most that connects with the Leafs losing a lot of Game 7s is, this is before most of our times, but not mine, the Miracle on Ice win of the U.S. Olympic team in 1980. In the movie Miracle, the coach gives a speech to the team, and he says, "One game, that's all we got to win is one game. They might beat us 9 games in a row, but we're going to win this one," the Soviet opponents. And they focused on what they could control. They focused on skating hard, outworking the other team, and that's what they did. I think the same things that the Leafs did to bounce back from that Game 5 loss are what they need to do in Game 7. I thought they showed great resilience in rebounding from that loss where the fans were not all that happy with them, and the players took ownership of that. They showed great leadership, the coach, the main players, and they did what they needed to do to get back on track and win that game six in a very gutsy kind of fashion. So I think if they apply that same mindset to this game coming up, they might not win, but they won't lose because of lack of effort or mental toughness.
I want to go back to Winnipeg and Connor Hellebuyck. How can he be so bad on the road and so good at home?
Yeah, I mean, a friend of mine asked me that question, and I said, that's a $1 million question. I mean, there's some players do have that pattern, and I think most teams do, in fact, do better at home than on the road. He's just I think it's got in his head. I mean, I was looking at his record over his career, and it's not like he's never won on the road or never won any big games on the road, but it's just the streak that he has going as far as not doing well on the road has been like the Leafs not winning game sevens for the last several years. It's just been a recent thing. And I think once it gets going where you might lose on the road for various reasons, if it's very easy to have that get into your head and lead you to lack self-confidence, get away from the things that you normally do that are effective. You start playing more tentative, not assertive, try not meant to make mistakes, and it builds on itself, and it's challenging to get out of that. I think he needs to work on that, as I'm sure he has been.
Lou?
It's funny that you said what you said earlier there. I was reading an article yesterday on Notre Dame on what they do when they come out of a tunnel. It just says, be great today. And you forget about tomorrow. Forget right. about what happened the day before. Concentrate on what you have in store in front of you for the next 4 hours. And if the Leafs can do that a lot better in Florida, then they're going to come out ahead today.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think your comments, if I remember it correctly, I think the coach of the Leafs, Berube,
yes.
really captured that with what he said. He said, we just got to play simple, focus on what's in front of us, and just keep at it, and we'll let the results take care of themselves. And I think that's what they did in game six. I mean, they just, that was a very tight game, and it could have gone either way, but they just kept at it, and then lo and behold, Marner gets the puck to Matthews, and he gets his opportunity, and they're on their way. And then they got the second goal from Pacioretty, you have to focus on the simple things, focus on what you can control, and keep your stress levels down to more manageable levels with good self-talk and relaxed breathing, perhaps, and you can take care of what's in front of you.
And we're talking to Dr. Patrick Keelan, noted sports psychologist. Dr. Patrick, just from a very general, like we all know, we all know what the physical part of the game and all the drills and the training and the strength training and the cardio training and the part that really doesn't get discussed all that much is the mental training. Although we are aware that in professional sports is huge business and sports psychologists are a big part of professional sports. But just from a very general sense, what techniques do sports psychologists utilize, both, I guess, from a team perspective and both from an individual athlete perspective?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's really is the more you practice the mental techniques, the more you get effective at them. Same with physical techniques and drills. I'd say there are certain key individual sports psychology techniques. Being able to cope with pressure and stress is one. Being able to foster good self-confidence is another one. Being able to cope with distractions, either ones in your head or ones that are external on the ice or in the crowd is another. Being able to set challenging goals that you can focus on, which helps to increase effort and motivation, that's another one. So lots of good individual skills that you would work on. Being able to bounce back from adversity is another one individually. And then as a team, team dynamics, leadership, team cohesion, supporting your other players, your teammates at all times is a key piece of that. And setting goals as a team is another one. So I think it's, you know, both of those individual and team goals and techniques are important for any team to be successful, to complement what you do as a team and a player to get effective at your hockey skills.
What do you do to calm the nerves of Leaf fans?
Sorry, calming the nerves as a fan player?
A Leaf fan.
How do you calm the nerves of Leaf fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can be similar to what the players would do. I think to, you know, calm the body through relaxed breathing and other techniques leading up to the game. To not just dwell on the game itself, do other things to take your mind off it, and focus on you know, what you can control more than things which are outside your control, and remind yourself as well about the you know, the way you think about things. A lot of times, what drives up the nerves is that people tend to be dwelling on inordinately negative thoughts. And those negative thoughts drive up the stress and the anxiety. And if you can think in a more balanced and accurate way about the situation, it will help to usually calm both the player and the fan.
We're talking to Dr. Patrick Keelan. Dr. Patrick, how important is, I may be stating the obvious here. I obviously know the answer to this question, but I'd like to flesh out the details a little bit more from you. Obviously, the coach in a pregame speech, I'm sure they all have their different styles. But what's, perhaps even from this perspective, you're Craig Berube. What do you say to the team before the game tonight?
I mean, I would do it not all that different from what he's said in his comments regarding Game 6. I mean, I wasn't in the room, but I suspect that what he would have said to the players going into Game 6 is what he should say going into Game 7. You know, the past is the past. Let's focus on what we're doing today. Keep it simple. You guys know you can do it. Focus on what's in front of you, and we can win this thing. I'm paraphrasing, but I thought that was good the way he did it. And I think when you get stressed out by adversity, you start trying to do a lot more than you're capable of doing, and then you get unfocused and you get away from doing the simple things that allow you to succeed. And I think there could be the tendency to do that after a debacle like that game five, but that would be what I'd do. I mean, something along the lines of what I said with the Miracle on Ice speech would probably be good as well, but a lot of players don't necessarily need that extra motivational push. I thought Berube's speech about keeping it simple was a good way to go.
Lou, got a couple of minutes left.
How different is it addressing a team? Then you address an individual. You hear all these individual professional athletes always continue talking about a team behind them. How does a psychologist handle an individual tennis player or somebody like a Scotty Scheffler going into today's final round of the PGA?
Well, I mean, I think you tailoring it to the individual and finding out what works for them is the way to go, because not every individual is the same in terms of what works for them. The thing that stood out for me about Berube was not only those comments I made about the team, but when you guys probably know about this as well, yeah. the way that he has handled William Nylander this year and brought out the best of him is it's really struck me as really great. In that Berube said he's a player who just needs to be left by himself and do his thing, and that will get the job done. He's not somebody who needs somebody in his face or tell him to do this or this or focusing on too much micromanagement of him. And when he did that, I think it's paid dividends for the most part with Nylander, who's obviously a talented player. So I think in general, the comment would be to find out what your player needs. Does he need more, encouragement and focus and attention? Or is he somebody who needs to be allowed to do his thing more rather than being constrained?
We've been talking to Dr. Patrick Keelan. Dr. Patrick, unfortunately, we're about to hit 10 o'clock and we've got to go. We can't thank you enough. We very much appreciate your insights and your perspectives, and I'm feeling a little bit calmer now after having talked to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, guys.
Always a pleasure. Dr. Patrick Keelan. Interesting perspective on a lot of those things. Guys, we only have about 30 seconds left. I do want to take the opportunity of thanking Charlotte Davidson, who's been working with our show. She set us up on Instagram. We're at Nazwally Sports, where she puts all of our stuff there. Took a couple of pictures of Naz and I this morning in our Leafs jerseys, only wearing number 14, of course. Guys, really quickly, Lou, prediction for tonight.
Do I have to give one?
Yes, hurry. Come on. Okay, Owen's looking at me here.
I'm going to take Florida in seven. Sorry, guys.
God. Why do we get him on the show?
I will say this. I predicted Toronto in seven, and we're going to play Freddie Anderson on Tuesday night at Air Canada Center.
Leafs 3, Panthers 1. Go, Leafs, go. Let's get on to Carolina on my mind. To all our loyal listeners, Tony for calling in, and everyone else, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Got our fingers crossed. Let's hope it goes the way we hope it's going to go, and we'll chat with you again next Sunday morning. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.